All right, we're going to move next to Claudia's discussion about career and family. But first, I wanted just to tell a quick story about how I met Claudia. So right before my freshman year at Penn, I got the book of courses to sign up for. And I looked for Econ 1A, which is the Introduction to Microeconomics. And it was being taught in large classrooms, lecture halls, by Professor Mansfield, who wrote the textbook. And there was one general honors class offered by Claudia in a small, it was called a Benjamin Franklin Scholar class. And I had not been selected for the Benjamin Franklin Scholar program, so I decided that I would write a letter to Claudia asking for permission to take the class. And I wrote the letter, and I waited. There was no response, so no big deal. I figured I would just show up for the first day of class and see what happened. And Claudia got up in front of the class, and she said, "Over the summer, I received the following letter," and she proceeded to read my letter to the class. And what it basically said was that I mentioned that I had worked at a stamp and coin shop, and I noticed that the prices of stamps fit supply and demand, even though some stamps from like Anguilla trade at very low prices, even though they're quite scarce, there was no demand for the stamps. But for certain American stamps where there had been millions of made, they still went for much higher prices and showed the importance of supply and demand. And then Claudia said, "All right, should we let this kid in the class or not?" And by a vote of acclamation, I was accepted, and I was very pleased to have taken Claudia's class. And with that, I now turn to Claudia for her new book to talk about career and family. Claudia, go ahead.
In 1963, Betty Friedan wrote about college women who were frustrated as stay-at-home moms. Today, almost 60 years later, college graduate women are largely on career tracks. Women graduate from college at far higher rates than men. They earn advanced degrees at about the same rate. But their earnings and promotions relative to those of the men they graduated with and to whom they are often married continue to make them look like they've been sideswiped. These women, too, have a problem with no name, to paraphrase Friedan. So what is it? I show in the book how five distinct groups of women who graduated college from 1900 to the early 2000s responded to the problems of balancing career and family as the 20th century progressed and as a sea change in the labor market and the household altered work, marriage, and childbearing. Many barriers to women's careers were removed, giving us a sharper vision why equity for dual career couples remains stubbornly out of reach and what that means for gender equality. The new problem with no name is greedy work. By greedy work, I mean jobs for which working more hours or particular hours or working harder during certain portions of one's life have disproportionate returns. For example, if doubling the number of hours worked, maybe from 40 to 80, more than doubles the implicit hourly wage, we have greedy work. Couples with children and other care responsibilities will be enticed by the greater income of greedy jobs to jettison couple equity. When a heterosexual couple gives up couple equity, they increase gender inequality for themselves and in the economy as a whole. I'll explain first why that is the case and next what might be done about it. Children take time, and at least one working parent must be the on-call at home parent. But on-call at home jobs, say being a lawyer at a small boutique law firm, pay far less than the on-call at the office jobs, say being a Park Avenue law firm lawyer. On-call at-home jobs enable more flexibility at work. If both members of the couple took the flexible job, each would earn, let's say, $120,000 a year. Alternatively, One could take a greedy job and earn, let's say, $150,000 a year, while the other member of the couple remains at the flexible job and earns the $120,000. Couples are thus enticed here by the added $30,000 a year to give up couple equity. Because women are generally the ones who take the on-call at-home job, gender equality is thrown under the bus along with couple equity. With couple equity, they would earn about the same amount. But without couple equity, in this example, women get 80% of what men earn. Couple inequity and gender inequality are actually the two sides of the same issue. The problem of greedy work is the main reason why women with care responsibilities earn less than men. Yes, there is real discrimination, sexual harassment, bias among managers and supervisors. And we should stomp all of that out as if they were cockroaches. But even if we brought in a giant exterminator, we would still have a significant gender inequality in earnings for the reasons I have given. So, what can be done? Three things. First, reduce the cost of flexibility through various means, such as better substitutability in jobs. Create teams of substitutes, not complements. Improve handoffs between professionals with information technology. Reduce the need for long-distance travel. And in fact, the new world of hybrid work may be moving in this direction. And number two, lower the cost of caregiving. And we're going to hear more about this soon from Elizabeth Cassier. And three, change gender norms and get men on board. And we may be moving in that direction. I hope we do. In sum and in conclusion, it is important to acknowledge the enormous progress made in the last 120 years in women's attainment of career and family. Yet, there is still a big problem reflected in a host of gender gaps in the labor market and at home. Knowing what the problem is and giving it the right name will help us. It doesn't solve the problem, but it focuses our attention on the right issues. Thanks.
Thanks, Claudia.